In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the celebration of the Day of All Saints. After the celebration of Pentecost and the receiving of the Holy Spirit upon all of the apostles, we celebrate the fruit of this new life that the apostles and the whole life of the church, for those who have entered into this new life in Christ, it bears fruit, and that fruit is the saints. It has borne the fruit of saints from the beginning down to the present. And our life is meant to bear that same kind of fruit. We are all called as those who have been baptized into this new life, this life in Christ, to live from within that life, to live from within the life in Christ. God came into the world, he took our humanity upon himself. That humanity in him is perfect. He has opened his life to us so that we can share in his life, in his perfect humanity and his divinity. And we can live life in the world like him, like the new Adam. And when we look at the saints, we see that it is possible. They are the witnesses to the fact that it is possible. They confess Christ by their life, from within the life in Christ. We heard this morning words from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. And what we heard was, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father. But is that what it says? Is that what it says in the original tongue, the original language? St. Gregory Palamas, Greek was his first language. He read the New Testament in the original written language of Greek. And it's interesting that in his sermon for today, St. Gregory Palamas points out specifically that we should notice what Jesus is saying. He says, notice that Jesus Christ does not say, he who confesses me before men, I will confess before the Father. Exactly our translation. Now, of course, our translation didn't exist yet, so he's not taking issue with that. He's just pointing out to people that if you look at what Christ says, that isn't what he says. It can be misunderstood that way. But what does he actually say? St. Gregory points out that what it says clearly in Greek is this: he who makes his confession in me. In me. Now, the other way, he who confesses me, we could understand that. In fact, it's most clearly understood as saying, go and tell other people that you believe in me. The assumption is that we have the ability, the capacity to confess Christ as Christ is talking about it. We have the ability and the capacity ourselves to confess Christ in the real way that Jesus means it, and the way Gregory points out to us. But the fact of the matter is, we don't. We don't have the capacity to live like Christ. We can only live like Christ from within him. From within him. From within him, we can make our confession. If we do something that takes us outside of our life in him, the shared life that God made possible, the life of the church, We go to confession and we re-enter that life. That's why we go to confession. Now, we all have all kinds of self-oriented ideas about self-development and legal confession of breaking rules that have absolutely nothing to do with why we go to confession, why confession exists. Confession exists so that we can re-enter into Christ when we have done something that has been done outside of Him. When we are no longer confessing Christ, but we are witnessing to ourselves instead of to Him. That's the difference. If we are going to live as saints, then we are going to confess, make our confession from within Christ. It's really not that complicated. In fact, in John 5:50, Jesus Christ Himself says this: I, by myself, can do nothing. The incarnate Son of God says of Himself, by myself I can do nothing. All I can do is to do what the Father does. There is a union between the Father and the Son, so that the will of the Son is at one with the Father. Jesus Christ comes into the world and He extends that oneness that He has with the Father to us. We call it synergy. It is possible for us to humbly and actively act in cooperation with God. From within that life that we share, the life of the Father through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, we can make our confession of Christ and live the new life in the world. The apostles do that and they reveal Jesus Christ. People don't respond to them because of what they say. They respond because of the fact that these men are saying something that comes from a oneness with God that is apparent. When a saint speaks to you, you know that he is speaking to you in a way that it is possible for you to share. Being able to live life in that kind of way is salvation. Being able to live in that kind of way is what Christ came into the world in order to make it possible for us to do. He is the message. Doesn't it all begin to make sense now? If we do that in our lives, in the world, then Christ at the same time will be confessing us before the Father. They are one as we are one. Really not that complicated. Outside of the fullness of the holy Orthodox Christian faith, the possibility of synergy is flatly denied. Not possible. We are fallen too much. We are corrupt. We can't expect to be able to cooperate with God in that kind of way. Luther said it point blank. Calvin agreed with him. It runs throughout Western Christianity, and it's not just a matter of the confessions of the 16th century. The Roman Catholic Church says also that it is not possible for us to live from within the life of Christ. As the Orthodox understand it, as St. Gregory points out, it says clearly in the Greek. This is essential. This is critical. The Christian life cannot be lived unless we can live in Christ. We as human beings have a will of our own. The main purpose of that will is to reject the worship of the world rather than God, to repent and enter into this oneness in Christ so that we can live the new life. That's the main purpose when it comes to spiritual life of our will. We can choose to do that. We can choose not to be guided by our self-reliance, to be guided by our passions and desires. We can choose that not by using our self-dependent control and ego to say, I will not do this, I will not do that. That we can't do. We do not have the strength to be able to function as if we were God. But we do have the strength to deny that we are God, which is the truth, and enter into this new life that Christ has made possible. By destroying the power of death, we don't have to fear death. That's why we rely on ourselves. We don't have to fear death within ourselves. And we can repent and enter into this oneness with God that He has made possible. And that's what the saints do. They live their entire lives that way. There is struggle, but their movement is in a single direction. The rest of us, we follow the path of the squiggle. We go this way, we go that way, we go this way, we go. Hopefully, in the long run, our squiggle moves toward God. It might not. I mean, good grief, if we're going around and around, we might head off in any possible direction in that 360-degree circle. It might not necessarily, time after time after time, orient toward God so that we have a kind of a squiggly line toward God. It may not. We do too much deliberation. We believe too much in the idea that freedom consists of deciding, shall I do this or shall I do that? Shall I do this or shall I do that? St. Maximus the Confessor told us Christ never did that. Never. His will and the will of the Father were one. His human will cooperated with His divine will, and He was at one with the will of the Father. That is what it means to be a true human being. To be at one with the will of God. Not to deliberate, well, maybe I should do this thing that is evil. I'm tempted by it. It looks pretty good. I'm going to think about it a little bit. Which way are we going to end up going? That deliberation, that's not freedom. It's bondage to whatever passion is pulling us in that particular direction. But the West says we have no capacity to act in cooperation with God. They say that we are so fallen and so corrupt that we can't ask of ourselves to repent in this way. We have to be saved by God just coming and saying, I have paid the price, you accept it, and you won't have to go to Hades. You won't have to go to hell when you die. The rest of your life, do the best you can. You have your human will. You can ask me to give you some kind of special ability to do better in a particular situation, and people ask God to come from outside of themselves and get them to do something because, as St. Paul has experienced, what I desire to do, I don't do. And they interpret that to mean that we have to ask God to force us from outside of our evil selves to do something that is good. And there are a lot of prayers sent up to God, asking Him to violate our human freedom to choose God and to love Him freely and have us do something because He wills it, and we give up our will. We give up our will that we ought to be using to love Him, to return to Him, to confess Him from within Christ, and to act in the world as bearers of Christ. The human will has its limitations. We can't just rely on good intentions and our own strength. Even if we are noble in our hearts, we don't have the capacity to rule our own hearts. We have a capacity as human beings to do a lot of things in the external world. We can build things. We can imagine and create things. Almost anything that we can imagine, it seems like we can find some way of bringing it into existence. Our science, our technology, our life in the practical world, politics and business, we can do incredible things in the world, but we do not have the ability to rule our own heart in the same kind of way. We are not absolute in our will. We are not independent of God. In our hearts, we must be in communion with God in order to be able to have our hearts be as they ought to be. That's the way it is. Without synergy, human life has to be controlled and organized by laws, negotiation, contracts, and some kind of imposed order with force behind it in order to keep things on track without synergy. And we would almost be happier in a way if it were the same thing inside of us. If we could just give up our freedom to love God and others, which God will never take away from us, and just ask God, God, make me so that I do good. Because I don't know how to do it. I don't have the strength to be able to do it by myself. But we can cooperate with Him. We can rule the external world, organize it, and accomplish great things, but we cannot rule our own hearts within us in the same way. There, we have the fear of death within us, and we are afraid to let our own trust in our worldly ability to control die. And that we have to do before we can act in cooperation with God. If we trust in ourselves rather than Him for the ruling of our own heart, then we are not going to be able to confess in Him. We are not going to be able to confess our faith in Him. Without synergy with God, without the ability to cooperate with God, friendship is very, very hard. Marriage is impossible. Christian marriage in the real sense, if we depend each of us on ourselves, on being good, trying to control ourselves, trying not to say the thing that we are tempted to say, even if our intentions are good, even if we love the other person, we will be able to do it for a while, relying on ourselves. But eventually, we reach our limit. And suddenly there is anger, self-reliance, self-justification, resentment, and misery. Because we've betrayed the person that we love by relying on ourselves, there is a separation between the two of us. We cannot accomplish human relationships without synergy with God. There has got to be something going on in the heart that goes beyond my own will, my own ability to will things to be the way I want them to be. So if we deny the possibility of synergy with God, then what we mean by Christian marriage is certainly not possible. Instead, we have to rely on law, contract, negotiation between two individuals who are obviously separate because they are both self-reliant. That isn't even what we mean by marriage. And it's the same thing with any relationship with another human being. If it's going to be more than a relationship governed by mutual respect, like between countries, mutual fear, boundaries. You know, the psychologists use all this kind of language when they try to teach people how to function in a relationship, where each person admits that I am most important to myself, self-reliant, and deserve to be respected by other people who are the same way. Like separate countries, we have international relationship, and that's called friendship or marriage. And we even understand our relationship to God that way. But that isn't the most that human life is capable of, is possible. Human life is capable of a oneness between human beings that comes from a oneness with God that Christ made possible. And so, if we are going to live more saintly lives, you know, the saints don't get to be saints by doing everything right. Because they're such strong personalities, they don't make mistakes. We are describing how saints get to be saints, become saints, continue to live lives that are saintly, and we can live saintly lives in exactly the same way. Our lives may be the path of a squiggle, but at least we'll know which way is up. At least we can remind ourselves of where we're intending to go. Every time we go to confession, we can remind ourselves that we are there to abandon the self-reliance and self-will and self-love and resentment and anger that caused us to do something outside of the life at one with God the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. That confession in Christ, that way of living, we have done something that has separated us from that, and now we are there to get back into that. That's the only reason we're there. That's the only reason we go to confession. To re-enter a life in Christ. So that we can live as God made it possible for us to live. Continuing to live that life is an active living of the salvation that God has made possible. Salvation is accomplished, no question about it. Past tense. But are we living the life that is a life of salvation? By making our confession of the faith in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.